Hello, this is Brendan Bradley from Lake Oswego, Oregon, and you're listening to the Coltcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long.
Hello, and welcome to the Coltcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah. I'm here with my friends and Apple savants. Leander Caney. Hey, Leander.
Hey, Efron.
And Booster Heine. Booster.
Hey, man.
And we are here at Macworld 2013. Literally here at Macworld 2013
in a room in the middle.
With no ceiling. Which is why you hear the background noise. There's press people everywhere, and the day is pretty much over, so people are just getting hammered, getting rowdy out there. I don't know if that's
true. There's a battle of the bands across the way as well.
Yeah, there's some really mediocre battle of the bands happening across the way.
It's not even mediocre, it's just horrible.
Well, they're all playing with iPad instruments.
Yeah.
Are they really?
Yeah.
So, we are here at Macworld 2013, like I said, and it's been a great time. We're going to be talking about the keynote this morning. Well, not really a keynote. The Ashton Kutcher, Josh Gad talk.
The Ashton note.
And we saw Will.i.am do a talk. And we're going to talk about some of the cool products that we've seen on the floor here. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Macworld in general. And
Booth Babes, of course.
And Booth Babes. So anyway, before we do all that, let me just say thank you to the fine folks at DigiDNA.net, sponsors of the Cultcast, makers of the fine software, DiskAid 6, the iPhone, iPad, iPhone, and iPad. And iPod transfer tool for PC and Mac. And we love those guys. You know, if you haven't tried out DiskAid, it's really fantastic software. It basically lets you drag and drop videos, movies, which are the same things, of course, photos,
videos, movies, films,
onto your iDevices. And if you like, completely bypass iTunes altogether and watch that content. We're going to talk a little bit about them later in the show. Before we do that, Buster,
yo,
you and I sat in on the Ashton Kutcher, Josh Gad talk this morning.
Yeah, unfortunately.
They talked about the process they went to through making the Jobs movie that's coming out in April. The one that Wozniak said he was embarrassed about after reading the script.
Yeah.
Which, funny enough, they did bring up. What were you going to say, Leander?
Well, yeah, everything he knows about it, he says that didn't happen. Oh, that didn't happen. That didn't happen.
No, that's true. And actually, do you know the guy who was even hosting the event? I don't even know.
Paul Kent.
Paul Kent.
Yeah. He's the guy that organized Macworld.
Okay. I should know, but do not. And he just straight up asked him. He's like, you know, Woz said that a lot of things in your movie didn't happen. What do you have to say about that? And Buster, can you paraphrase what Ashton Kutcher said? I think he started off with, where's my car?
Dude, where's my script?
There's Josh Gad, who seemed like he was offended at it. He made a dig at Woz, like, oh, go read Woz's book, iWoz. He would plug it if he was here. I considered it a dig.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I know Woz would plug his book if he was here right now.
Okay.
And then Kutcher was just like, yeah, we're not going to get everything right, but I think we'll get, like, the essence, and we'll try to get, you know, the main things that happened, right?
Yeah.
You know.
And that's pretty much what Josh Gad said as well.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, we feel like we got the spirit of it right. And
but
I was
none
like,
of the actual details?
None of the actual content. No, he didn't say that. Those are my words. But it was interesting because he was like, you know, we feel like we got the spirit of it right. And I thought his answer was really good. He was like, we made this film out of respect and love, and we tried to be as true as we could. But we were not at these events, and we don't know how these things transpired because we weren't there.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Leander?
Some guy I was talking to this morning said that he was really skeptical about seeing the movie, and he really had no interest until he saw them talking about it, and it made him want to go see the movie. He thought that they had the right answers, you know, to this question, that it was like, you know, that the answer that it was in the spirit of things was good enough for him. Because, like, The Social Network, right, the Facebook movie?
Yeah.
I like that movie. I think that's a great movie. I'm sure it's nothing like real life, but I think it's a great movie about startups and business.
Yeah.
And ruthless ambition and heartless kids and
Heartless.
Yeah, drugs, which is why
and
I like it.
And the music is great.
And Justin Timberlake.
Really like Justin Timberlake's in it.
He's really good at it.
Really, it's not the word I use.
Arguable.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because remember Mark Zuckerberg was like, when he saw the movie, people asked him about it, and he was like, this is not true at all. Like,
no.
Fiction.
Yeah.
But
he had the good, you know, he was a good sport. He went to see it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought Josh Gad was really articulate, really charming. All his answers were really good.
Yeah, I liked I like Josh Gad a lot.
And he's the guy that plays Wozniak in the film. Buster, what do you think about Ashton Kutcher's...
I just think Ashton Kutcher is full of it. He name drops like
you
nobody...
Mean, by it, you mean talent.
I just think...
Who was he name dropping then?
He was name dropping Dave Morin. And I've seen him drop Dave Morin's name.
From past.
Hi.
One a thousand times.
Good. We're recording a podcast live right at this very moment. Yeah, no problem.
But come in and ask us what we're doing.
Yeah. So anyway.
He name dropped Dave Morin. You know, he does that all the time in interviews. Just likes to talk about how he's friends with the CEO of Path.
Yeah.
And but I don't know. He got teary-eyed talking about jobs. I guess he really does believe.
So let's talk about that. So at the very end, so the beginning was kind of boring, actually.
It was horrible.
They talked about making the film. They talked about some of the controversy around it and the Woz comments, and we already talked about that. But then they somebody asked a Facebook question, and they asked Josh and Ashton what they thought. It was basically, you know, after doing this film, what did you learn, and what are you going to take away with in your life? And Josh Gad made this really funny comment that everyone laughed at. And then Ashton had three things. You would have died, Leander, because it was you would have been like, oh,
it was, it was like,
this is going to take more than 10 seconds? What? You would have been dying.
Yeah. Like, how is he going to be a better human being?
It took him 5 minutes. He said, focus, compassion, and... or compassion for customers, not for other people, because you can't learn that from Steve Jobs.
Right.
And then also that, like, anybody can change the world. You know, a very cheesy answer.
So
in
the last one, he read this. Actually, he had it memorized, actually, off the cuff. He read this Steve Jobs quote that talks about when you grow up, you know, you tend to get told that the world is the way it is and life, you should just live your life and you should live your life by these rules. But no, because the people that made those rules are not nearly – or they're just as smart as you are, you know, and you can do whatever you want. And during the course of this, I don't know, soliloquy
– yeah.
He started choking up.
Yeah, he was
crying. And I found it to be very genuine. Like, I thought he was having a hard time, you know, actually speaking. And Buster's just, like, eye-rolling over there.
No, I was laughing.
You were laughing.
I could not believe that he was crying just talking about Steve Jobs, which, I mean, people like Steve Jobs a lot. But if you haven't met him, I just don't understand why it would evoke, like, that much emotion. Unless you're just
very emotional about it.
He's an actor.
Here's Erfan's argument.
My point earlier is, like, well, after seeing his previous work, we know he couldn't have faked that.
Yeah.
I kid. So, anyway, that was a really cool keynote, actually. I thought that was a great way to start it off.
It was a packed house, wasn't it? Like,
packed house.
It was two-thirds of the way full. They had to...
Oh, two-thirds?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and this is something we should probably talk about later.
I mean, there was a lot of people.
The room wasn't as packed as... Like, remember when we saw Sinbad 2 years ago?
It was
that
packed?
That was packed.
Oh, that same room?
Yes.
Oh,
and there were
wow.
more chairs in it, too.
Huh.
So I don't know why I just gave you my Bill Clinton thumb, but I was trying to make my point.
You made it. Yeah. I got it.
That was a packed house. So anyway, then we went to the Will.i.am event, because apparently Will.i.am is another tech luminary.
Yeah.
And he was there. I only saw the tail end of it. Buster, any takeaways from that?
You know what? Will.i.am actually, what I took away from it was Will.i.am does some good stuff. Outside of tech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was actually talking about how he got Lorraine Powell Jobs to help him go to his ghetto, his... What is it called?
In his old neighborhood in LA.
There's some neighborhood in
Literally,
LA.
Yes, yeah.
But he recruited her to help him like start up a program to where, you know, less fortunate kids could get into college, and so that like they raised $8 million, stuff like that, which that's really good. And then at the tail end of it, he started talking about his you know, $400 iPhone accessory camera thing that's just like worthless, and how he wanted to put everything in it. I wanted an extra sensor. I wanted a keyboard. I wanted a flash in it. I wanted a toothbrush in it, man.
And then Fergie came out and it turned into this auto-tune song. It was amazing.
That's
glitter fell from the ceiling.
When he said he wanted a toothbrush in it, that's when I left.
Did he honestly say that?
No, he was joking, but yeah.
But then he brought out a prototype, started brushing his teeth.
And the thing was that was funny is he was talking about like when he was creating it, and he's like they're like working on it and everything. And I think we found out that it was coming out, or it came. They announced it right after the iPhone 5 came out.
Yeah.
And he said like we were working on the prototype, and then somebody told me like, oh, Will, you know the iPhone 5 is going to come out in 4 weeks, right? And I was like, oh, what, it is?
And I was the only person in the whole world that didn't know the iPhone 5 is coming out?
Yeah, how in touch with tech are you? He's like, oh, well, you know what? Just keep working on it. We'll do the iPhone 5 later.
He's like, I'm going to give this to Oprah either way. She's going to talk about it. We're going to sell a zillion of these things. Yeah. To all the moms that have iPhone 4s. Yeah, I found Will.i.am's talk to be interesting, and he's kind of considered like in that Ashton Kutcher category where it's like he has a Twitter account, so everyone thinks he's a tech luminary. And I don't mean that in any kind of slight towards him. It's just interesting to me how these celebrities will come in, and just because they use an iPhone or they have a Twitter account, everyone's like, oh my gosh.
Well, it's like
they are tech luminaries. We need to listen to every word they say because they know tech so well. And then he's like, oh wait, the iPhone 5's coming out? And you're like, dude.
In 40 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I didn't know that.
It's like Ashton Kutcher. I mean, when you have like tens of millions of dollars, yeah, I can invest in Path or any other like startup. That doesn't make me like a really like knowledgeable tech person. I just have money that I can invest, and I'm trying to make more money out of it, because that's when you're that rich, the only thing for you to do to make more money is to invest in other companies.
Yeah, totally.
Like, so I, you know, he like would try and say like, oh, I try and emulate Steve Jobs when I'm doing my angel investing. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, because Steve Jobs was an angel investor, wasn't he?
Yeah, he did say a lot of things like that. And he did name drop a few times and just like things that he's investing. And he would be very like nonchalant about very big details, like, you know, I angel invest and I own Facebook and I created email. And you're like, wait a second, what did he just say? You know, like he's just like casually making these comments. Anyway, I can go on about that, but I shan't. Let's talk about gadgets.
Well, what about the show floor, you know, like...
Yeah, so we've been hitting up the show floor today. And just to kind of... Not that this is going to give anyone any relative information, except for people who have been to CES, but... when we were at CES 2 weeks ago, we would go to these press events at night, and I would say this entire show is probably the size of one of those medium-sized press events. Mm-hmm. So it's not really huge. I made it through the entire show floor today. I'll be making the rounds again tomorrow. Found some cool stuff. Buster, if you had to select maybe one, two things that you thought were cool.
From the show floor?
From the show floor.
I didn't get to see the show floor. I went to the show floor, but I didn't really look at too much stuff. I didn't see anything.
Well, I know El Caney didn't find anything cool.
There was some vegan non-dairy cheese at one of the booths.
Yeah, there's a weird booth giving out non-dairy cheese, which I think is going to be a decision that you regret later.
Right. Plus, they were on trade show.
Well, you know, I honestly feel like the iLounge area of CES has a lot more cutting-edge gadgets than we're seeing here.
Yep.
Well, I was going to say, the iLounge, I think, is bigger, right? Isn't it on the claim it's bigger
this year?
I think it is
bigger. Yeah.
At least there's more investors, but, I'm sorry, more exhibitors. But, you know, they have a bunch of sort of like the weird Chinese companies that were selling, you know.
We have some of those here, too.
There are some weird Chinese companies here.
And the focus of the show is totally different. You know, this is a, like, for the, you know, it's supposed to be a consumer-focused show. It's supposed to be for regular folks, whereas the CES show is for, you know, insiders, buyers, distributors, retail people. But I saw a guy last night from the CEO of Dr. Mm-hmm. Bart, and he was at CES, and he was saying this is still a great show because, you know, he said that it's actually a pretty good crowd that come here. First of all, there's the Mac Press here, right? So that's super important for these people to get in front of the Mac Press.
Yeah.
Plus, he said the people that come here are like what they're calling influencers, eye influencers. They've all got, like, Ashton Kutcher and...
Influencers.
Yep,
influencers. I was like, do you really believe that? Because that sounds like Paul Kent's pitch. You know, that sounds like Macworld's pitch to to exhibitors, you know, like to say, hey, you know, get in front of 25,000 eye influencers. And he said, no, I really do think they are. They're, you know, San Francisco, this is San Francisco, right?
Yeah.
Heart of the tech industry, Silicon Valley. People who come down here, you know, do have an outsized influence, he thinks, in the tech world.
Yeah, that's true. Well, let me talk about a couple gadgets that I saw that were cool, and then we can move on. I want to talk about, you know, you're talking about there being influencers here, there's media people here. I think that's a conversation that's interesting. So we want to talk about whether or not Macworld is still something that, I don't know, I mean, for lack of a better word, is relevant anymore.
Right.
You know,
well, that's a question that comes up every year.
Yeah, it is, and especially ever since Apple pulled out. There's a joke in there somewhere. I think I said that every time I say that. that it's kind of like, well, is it relevant anymore? But let me tell you about two gadgets that I saw. So I found this one thing called the Lumo, which I thought was really cool. And they had a Kickstarter project. They were asking for $100,000. They raised $200,000. And you know how your mom's always telling you, stand up straight, Leander, and then she hits you with something, probably? That's what happens in my mind. Probably still to this day. She does that when you go over there. This thing goes on your back, and it monitors like whether you're slouching or not.
What?
And every time you slouch, if you slouch for too long, it will buzz at you. So the purpose of it is to train you to stand up straight. And it also comes with an app that will show you like how many days in a row you've actually stood up straight. Yeah, I know you guys. Some of you out there are like, this is the coolest thing you're seeing at the show.
Yeah, right.
Yes, which is why we're going to be having the relevant conversation next. This next one's even better. So. I'm walking by this booth, and there's this buff guy standing there with this bow and arrow.
Oh, that
except
one.
It's not a bow and arrow. I think it's called, like, the bow bomb or something. I wish I remember the name.
The eye bow, isn't it?
It's not the eye bow. He actually didn't put eye in front of the name of his product. He's a champ. And what it is this, it's, like, this thing that looks like a bow, and you insert your iPhone into the front of it, and then it allows you to play games, like, so shooter games. So you kind of like
it's like augmented reality.
Back.
Yeah, you can shoot arrows into like people in front of you.
Yeah, but he's not the one. No, he's not the one making the games. So there's a trigger at the end of the bow. So you pull the bow back so that it's, you know, cocked. But then there's a trigger on the arm that has that piece of elastic in your hand.
So you don't let go of the string; it goes smashing into your wrist.
Well, then you hold the bow tense, and you're pulling the trigger to like fire things on the iPhone.
Uh-huh.
So you're not even actually like.
So you're not letting the bow release.
You're not letting
at all.
The bow release at all. So literally, it's a device that lets you like control like your iPhone in games, and when you pull the trigger, it has a little like rubber nubbin that taps your screen. And that's how it knows.
Oh, it taps the screen?
It taps the screen.
No way.
So it's like a little
little
mechanical thing that he built himself. It was actually kind of cool, but he's a chiropractor. And so that's why he was like, when people play games, you know, like they're not engaging like their core or something.
Oh, really?
And so this thing is supposed to help you like develop your back
muscles.
You
got to put the two together, right?
I actually made a Gadget Hunter video on it on Cultimac. If you want to watch it, it'll be on youtube.com/Cultimac.
This is like the Bowflex then, huh? For iPhone accessories?
It's like literally like a bow and arrow that's like an iPhone holder case. So I still obviously have some floor to cover. But that's like, you guys, I know there's some of you out there that are shaking your heads, and you're like, these are the gadgets you're talking about, and it's like, yeah, like that's the kind of stuff that we're seeing.
There was Adobe's here.
Adobe's here, yeah, but I mean, they're previewing their Photoshop for iPad, right?
That's been out
for an age.
I didn't go by that.
Well, the fact that they came back to the show is, you know, that's going to be. Because they pulled out when Apple pulled out, but now they're back.
Good joke. Oh, sorry. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break. I want to tell you guys about Discade 6 and our sponsors, DigiDNA.net. Love those guys. Stick with us. When we come back, we're going to be talking about has Macworld lost its magic? And actually, we're going to dive into a Star Wars conversation. Some of you may have heard recently that J.J. Abrams is getting the nod to direct the new Star Wars film. He's already directed the Star Trek films. And Buster and I have been wanting to have this conversation, so we figured what better place to do it than here at Macworld 2013. We'll be back in just a sec. Hey guys, so I want to tell you about our sponsors, DigiDNA.net, makers of DiscAid 6. DiscAid 6 is great. It is one of the easiest ways to transfer content on and off your iPad, your iPhone, your iPod. It has some really cool features. First of all, it's been built, rebuilt from the ground up, so it works wirelessly. No more plugging devices in to your computer to transfer your content on and off your iPhone, your iPad. Let me give you some examples of some of the cool things that it does. A, one of the most handy features, it lets you download your call logs. You can download your voicemails and then store those on your computer. But also, one of the cool things that it does is it lets you bypass iTunes altogether. Let's say you're going on a flight. You want to put a movie on your iPad, but you don't want to sync iTunes because it takes forever, right? Let's say you download something off the internet. With Discade 6, you just connect your iPad, drag that content onto your iPad, and then it's ready to go. And then you can download an app from the App Store that's free called File App. DigiDNA makes that app as well. And then File App lets you consume any of that content. So if you've dropped a document onto your iPhone or iPad, if you've dropped a movie, if you've dropped photos, you can boot up File App, view that content, watch that content. I use Discade all the time, and every time we have listeners that use it and purchase a license, they always tweet at me and tell me how much they're enjoying it. I have some listeners using it for their businesses. So I urge you to try it out. Go to digitdna.net, click on the big Discade icon, download Discade, and actually a lot of its basic functions are free. There's no cost to download it. Use it, try it out. If you like it, you can get 30% off your license. Just enter the code THECULTCAST at checkout. You're going to get 30% off your order. And tweet at DigiDNA. They're on Twitter. Let them know that you appreciate them sponsoring the show because they're helping us bring you this fantastic content. And we really appreciate them for doing that. They're one of our longest standing sponsors. We really like the guys over there. They're not just promoting their product on the show. They're fans of the show. They listen to the show. So give them a try. DigiDNA.net, Discade 6. All right, guys. Let's talk about Macworld just in general.
Oh.
Clearing my throat for this one. So I've kind of noticed the show seems smaller. Especially Leander and I were here 2 years ago, and it seemed a lot bigger to me. Sinbad was here. It seems like there's a lot less vendors. The quality of the vendors displaying stuff here seems to be a little less than it was before. Do you guys think that this show is going to be around 2 or 3 years from now? Buster?
Is it going to be around?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, this is my first time coming to Macworld, and I don't find it that interesting other than the people here.
Yeah.
We met with 12 South last night, and that was fun. I mean, yeah. It wasn't like a great party, but it was, it was fine, right, Leander?
Yeah.
I met with another company this afternoon at a different hotel. It was just the two of us, and it was also like, it's nice to like meet people that you never see when you work on the internet, other journalists and people in the industry. But as far as like cool products, you don't see anything nothing revelatory is going to be announced at Macworld.
No,
anymore.
I feel like a lot of things that were new here had already been announced at CES. Like, I met several people who were like, oh yeah, this is my product. We announced it at CES.
Or
this has been out for a year. Or this has been out for, 2 years. And you're just like, oh, okay. That's cool, I guess. So,
2 years.
I mean, it used to be that when Apple was here, this was a conference where things would get announced. Apple would release
here.
Yes, new devices.
MacBook
vendors
Air,
would release new devices here. And now it just seems like that doesn't really happen anymore.
Yeah, well, they were always running the danger was that they were going to get overshadowed by Apple when they made a product announcement. So, a lot of companies would try to save it up, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big, healthier show. I mean, it used to be across the street at the Moscone Center, North and South Halls, which are two really big halls, so it's like two big halls at CES. Now it's in one smaller hall here at Moscone West. So, didn't they say they had more exhibitors, though, this year?
They have more exhibitors, but the way they did that was they have, a lot more apps exhibitors in the Apple
section.
They
have a ton of apps here this year.
But they're not, really small booth,
tiny
kiosks. Tables. Yeah, it's
like, not even a full-size booth.
And there's about eight of them around one table, right?
Yeah.
Right. And actually, I was walking through one corner of the hall, and I noticed that it's, all app developers now.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of action in the app world. I mean, that's where all the excitement is, really, in the Apple ecosystem. I think, there's a few Kickstarter projects, right?
Yeah, the Kickstarters are really the ones that I get excited about. I get more excited about the hardware stuff. I mean, apps. Do you guys really get that excited about apps?
No.
Well,
I mean, do you need to come to Macworld to learn about an app?
No, but it's, you know, I mean,
for, not at all.
I think.
You don't. But it is nice to come to Macworld to meet the developers, to kind of make a relationship. And stuff like that. So
well, we have a
nice.
Different purpose.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, some like our perspective is very different, right? Because for us it's cool. Very cool.
For them, I don't know.
Like, because I'm walking around when I work walking around the show floor, I'm thinking, like, what newer cool products are here that maybe I can learn about, maybe I can get some review units for, and then I can tell our audience about. Like, that's kind of what I'm thinking in my mind. But if you were just a consumer. People don't know this. The tickets for Macworld are really expensive, especially if you get like the 4-day all-inclusive pass. It's $1,100. $1,100.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And for me, I'm like, I wonder what they're getting out of this. I mean, there are a lot of educational panels, right?
Yeah.
So maybe if you weren't that into the Apple ecosystem. Buster's making a Vine. Live Vine. I thought you were getting my photo.
No.
I was like, oh, yeah. Hey, Aaron Elijah here. For those of you that can't see, which is all of you, Buster's using our new favorite app, Vine, to make a quick 6-second video of our cult cast here. Yeah, do it. It's actually on your face, Buster. So I think we're kind of all in agreement then. Macworld's kind of getting smaller.
It's smaller, and it's just not exciting anymore.
Not exciting anymore. Yeah.
Anymore for the first, this is the guy that first is just.
I used to like look forward to other websites' Macworld coverage, and now I'm just I put up a lot of posts today, but now I'm thinking, God, what am I going to write about tomorrow? I hope my boss doesn't fire me.
Yeah, I was hoping the same thing for you. I was actually worried for you.
That actually might be happening.
Leander has been thinking the same thing. So there you have it. I mean, Macworld, well, it's still cool. It's a great community experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and there's it's definitely we're gonna go to a big party tomorrow night, the Cirque du Mac, over in North Beach, and that's always a big blowout. In fact, it's kind of like that. And it used to be like every night was like that. There'd be a big party like that.
Exactly. It just feels the streets feel a little emptier. Press hall feels a little smaller. Food's not as good. But you know what has been really cool is we've actually run into a few of our cult cast listeners here, and it's crazy getting recognized by your voice. I want to give a shout out to Danny. I want to give a shout out to JT Ray, who we ran into at the Ashton Kutcher, Josh Gad panel. And, it was funny because listener Danny walked up to us, and he goes, Buster, Airfon? And I was like, he's like, are you guys with the cult cast? And I'm like, you mean Cult to Mac, right? Because I was like, surely he doesn't mean cult cast.
Right.
But he does. He's a listener, and he recognizes us by our...
Well, you got mobbed by more people than Ashton, right? At the end of the...
They came
rushing up to you guys.
Yeah. So I was standing next to Ashton, and this big swarm of girls started running towards us. I don't know where the girls came from.
Airfon!
I haven't seen any... Yeah, and he like put out his arms, right, to like welcome them, and then they all ran into my arms.
Right, they just went
and then they
mind.
Carried me off. Yeah, and that was an experience. I'd never had that happen before. And apparently, they recognized me from across the way by my voice.
Right, exactly. We're at Macworld. It's our peeps.
I'm at Macworld. It's full of beautiful women. So naturally, that kind of thing happens.
Well, that actually segues quite nicely to the booth babe discussion, right? Because last year, there's a big controversy about booth babes here at the show.
I don't understand why there's a controversy about booth babes. Can you explain it to me?
Kind of a little bit 1950s. You know?
Really?
Sexism, objectification of women. You know,
please,
other
please,
kind
please.
Of...
You know, I don't think that... I it's just like... Women like to look at, or men like to look at women. I mean, if the woman's sitting there dressed in a thong and nipple pasties, then yes, I can see how that'd be offensive. But if it's like an attractive, fully clothed woman,
well, that's what it was. People were saying it was like last year. You know, like Keeper girls are all out there in short mini skirts.
Okay,
and there was a lot of it's like the sort of lowest. You know, could you think of an easier? Less creative way to get attention at a trade show than getting a bunch of
scantily clad
women to man your booth,
to shake their cans.
No, I can't.
And it just shake their cans.
There was a lot of controversy about it last year, and then this
year.
Well,
there are none here this year. I mean,
no,
zero.
There's
I haven't
none,
seen a single one.
Which is kind of funny.
Yeah. Generally, these types of tech events, you would definitely see
there
some.
There was plenty at CES, but there's none here.
Oh, yeah. There were a lot at CES.
In fact, we have the picture of the only booth babe here, and she's a cardboard cutout.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A booth babe cardboard cutout?
But everyone else is like, they're very conservatively dressed.
Yeah, there's some attractive models at the booths, but they're all like long sleeve shirts, jeans, you know,
boiler suits,
nothing
sacks.
Like nothing revealing.
Beekeeping outfits.
They have some like
they do got the guys in
it's
the
like
NASA
Backworld
suits
wenches.
Too.
Hey, governor, can't look at my app, governor. She's like missing some teeth. I'm just like, oh, yeah. What app is it?
That's what Macworld
London.
Just
give me the press release in Macworld London. You're getting tired of those booth wenches. Yeah. Can't look at my battery charger, governor. Well, guys, let's give anything to add to the Macworld chat. I think that's pretty much it. We can move on to our Star Wars conversation.
Star Wars.
Okay. Leonard, do you care about Star Wars?
What's wrong with you?
Not since I was six.
Really? So well, what was that really. Like? That was like 4,500 years ago, right?
No, I don't know. They're all right. I thought the last one was actually like a great idea for a story, but it went on for so long.
Well, George Lucas kind of botched that
one. He really
one.
Needs an editor. He needs someone else to direct those movies for sure.
Absolutely.
And no, a script doctor.
Yeah. Okay, so let me start with the basis of our conversation. So J.J. Abrams, really, really, I think personally, amazing director. He's been a producer. He owns a production company called Bad Robot. And he has recently been given the task to direct the next Star Wars movie that Disney is going to release in 2015. For those who are really behind on the news, Disney bought Lucasfilm. And they own all the Star Wars properties now. And J.J. Abrams recently directed, I think in 2009, the newest Star Trek movie. Did you see that, Leander?
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Oh, my gosh. Can I just start with this?
Yeah, but listen,
it was fantastic.
Well, it was a really good movie.
I thought it was one of the best Star Trek movies I've ever seen, and I've seen almost all of them.
Yeah, the second part of that sentence is the most important part. One of the best Star Trek movies I've ever seen.
Okay, right. So you're not a big Star Trek fan.
Well, it's all right. I mean, I'd seen a few of the other movies. I thought some of the old Star Trek movies are pretty entertaining, but I mean, you see them once, see them twice, they're fun, they're kind of bubblegum movies, right?
What?
It's not something you would watch over and over again. You know every single line.
I do, and yeah. I do
really?
Watch them over and over again, yeah. I love Star Trek. I love sci-fi. So, well, Buster, okay, so your thoughts when you heard J.J. Abrams was going to be directing? Because some people were like, he can't direct Star Trek and Star Wars.
No, I was one of
them. No, you can't do
that.
Like,
they're two different universes?
Yeah, two different universes, but really similar, and you can't do it. So what did you think?
I felt like, oh, I'm really surprised they're letting him do that, because, yeah, he's doing Star Trek, and he's doing a phenomenal job with it.
Yeah,
and I figured Disney wouldn't want Star Wars to look the same as Star Trek, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm okay with Star Wars looking like that new Star Trek movie because it was so good. It was, you know, fast-paced. There was great depth in it for the characters. I thought it was a solid movie, so I'm excited. Plus, my only concern with J.J. Abrams is he's really busy. He has a ton of side projects. Like I was reading, he has like a pilot that he's doing for NBC and another one for Fox as
well. Oh, really?
That he's pitching on top of like he has the Star Trek franchise and Mission Impossible and now Star Wars.
He's doing Mission Impossible too?
Well, he's like I think he's executive producing Mission Impossible 5.
Yeah, see, that movie wasn't so hot. It started out great. Some of the action sequences in it were really good.
It was better than the third one, and the second one.
I didn't see
and
those
the
either.
One.
The first
the
one, first one
the
was
first
good.
One. You thought the first one was good?
Yeah, you didn't like it. It had
I
Emilio
it okay.
Estevez, the Mighty Duck Man.
Emilio Estevez?
Yeah.
Did you just call him like Shemilio Estevez?
Emilio Estevez.
Dude, I love Shemilio Estevez. He's great. Yeah, I'm really excited. Like I said, I know some people are like, you know, J.J. Abrams shouldn't be able to do it. He's directing Star Trek. They're going to have the same look. You even mentioned, Buster, that they're going to have the same look. I don't necessarily think that's true.
You're right. They could do as a different, like, director of photography to give him a different look.
Well, he's assembling an all-star team. I think one of J.J. Abrams' biggest talents is assembling good teams.
I think the biggest worry is not the director, but the characters. Who, I mean,
right.
Darth
Where
Vader's.
Are you going to take the plot?
Is it going to be after the
Yeah,
movies,
so it takes
or?
Place after.
30 years after or something?
I don't know the time frame, okay. But we have
so
yet
Luke
to see that.
Is...
So the guy who wrote the story, the screenplay and the story for Toy Story 3, Michael Arndt, he's the one writing the screenplay for the next Star Wars. Plus, and this is actually the really smart thing that they're doing, they are getting the first they're getting the writers for The Empire Strikes Back and I think the original Star Wars or it's Return of the Jedi to consult on the screenplay script. And those were solid movies, like those very first three. So Michael Arndt isn't going to be doing it all by himself. He's going to have a lot of help. And plus, George Lucas is going to be consulting. And George
Lucas, is that a good thing, though?
Yes. And let me tell you why. George Lucas should be – he should have been a consultant. He should have never had had full – creative control over the newest three Star Wars movies.
The best movie is the one he kind of had the least to do with, right?
Right. Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, and if you delve into like any like Star Wars history, like he had some zany ideas. He was like Steve Jobs wanting to call the iMac the Mac Man, right? But he had a good team around him who was like, you can't do that. That's a terrible idea. And then George Lucas got so huge that he didn't have anyone that would tell him no. So he had like this team around him who were probably all yes men. They're like, oh yes, Mr. Lucas, that sounds great. Oh, Jar Jar Binks, the kids are gonna love it, right? No, well, everyone's like just like a stamping his.
I know, but exactly. But he put those characters in right to appeal to kids, and now this is a Disney property, right? So it's gonna be Ewoks, Jar Jar, the flying bug thing. You know, all these like kid friendly characters.
Do you think they're gonna bring back Jar Jar Binks?
Oh yeah, he's gonna be starring.
No, he's gonna be the star of it. Star Wars Episode 8. New Binks.
You're never gonna get a rated R Star Wars. Though,
yeah, exactly. It's
sure.
Not gonna be a dark grown up sci fi movie.
I don't know. I mean,
it's not even gonna be a good.
Disney's never released a rated R movie.
Have they not?
No.
Dude, they released Pretty Woman. Wasn't that rated R?
That's not a Disney movie.
That was a Disney movie.
Is she a Disney princess then?
I don't think so. Here's what's going to happen. I'm gonna outline it for you right now, right? So this is what happened in Star Trek. This is the way trilogies go. The first one is going to be like kind of suspenseful. They're going to be setting up the universe. And somebody's going to have discovered a talent they didn't have before, right? He's going to be like, I'm a Jedi? Really? Then they're going to go in the second one, Darkness. Just like Star Trek. The new Star Trek is called Into Darkness, right? What was the first Star Trek? The first new Star Trek. It was Captain Kirk discovering he had these crazy, like,
he's the captain
abilities, right? And now the next one, Into Darkness. It's in the title. They're going dark. Third one, his triumphant return, right? And that's the exact blueprint they're going to use.
Well, that's a trilogy story. That's just a hero's journey. I mean, there's a formula.
No, I came up with that on my own.
Oh, you're right. I mean, even Star Wars follows the exact same thing.
Exactly. It's going to be like this new Tolkien movie, the Hobbit movie. They're going to like drag it out.
I like
really boring movies.
Okay, but yeah, but the Tolkien movies, I mean, they were based off a book, and they're dragging one book into all this content. But with Star Wars, they get to start from scratch. They can do anything they want. And the Star Trek script, I mean, the reboot that they did was, I thought, was so smart. How they distanced themselves right from the beginning by doing the time thing. You know, they're like, oh, we went through a black hole, so now we don't know what our futures would have been. So now we literally get to rewrite anything. But can I tell you what I'm most excited for? Since I haven't obviously talked enough yet. Leonard's like practically asleep.
Please go ahead.
Leonard's like, I don't even like Star Trek. Please tell me more.
I'm loading up BuzzFeed.
So let me tell you what I'm most excited for. In the new Star Trek, the 2009 edition, the space fights were amazing. You know, in the older version of Star Trek's, you know, it would be like, oh, we're on the bridge. Everyone's like obviously falling over and stuff. And there was no like in space action. And the new Star Trek was all like special effects. The Enterprise, the USS Enterprise that they flew, didn't really do anything in the first Star Trek movies. And the new one, it's like, whoa, that's a badass ship. Like, that thing's really cool. We're going to see a ton of really amazing
spaceships,
fights and ships in the new Star Trek. Well, I'm sorry, Star Wars.
Talking about that, you should have, you know who should direct it? Paul Verhoeven.
Who the heck is that?
Starship Troopers.
I've never seen that movie.
That was a terrible movie, man.
No, it's a total classic. It's like really, the violence in it is really stomach-churning. But
I've actually heard a lot of people like that movie.
Yeah. No, he did RoboCop, the first RoboCop.
Oh, my gosh. How long do you think it's going to be before we see a new RoboCop?
No, they're working on one.
Yeah, they are.
You didn't
know that?
I hope they bring back
and they're remaking Starship Troopers,
$1.
Too. They're remaking Starship Troopers, yeah. He's a genius. He's an absolute genius. The Starship Troopers was very much about – it portrayed future America as a fascist state that is attacking this insect planet, and the insect planet, in defending itself, they have to go and exterminate the insects. So it's really dark, you know, take on American
militarism.
I
thought it was kind of campy.
Well, it is. It's campy, but that's what makes it palatable and really good satire, because it was very subversive.
Oh, interesting. I'm going to have to go back and check out the first one then. All right, so let's wrap up on the Star Wars talk, because you guys are getting glossy-eyed, and I could keep waxing on about space fights for hours. Space fights. Anything you guys want to add about Star Wars? Okay, let's wrap up this show then. I want to thank everyone for listening. I know the audio isn't great when we do these live events, especially when we're in a room full of drunk people like we are here. And I'm talking about Leander. So thanks for sticking with us. I want to thank DigiDNA for sponsoring the show. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. We'll be back next Thursday at our usual time on our usual day with better quality audio and back to our normal format. But until then, thanks for listening, and we will see you guys next time.